But we're going to be talking here today about due process in e-commerce, and we're going to keep it basic in my mind, but a lot of these people have, especially I've been here a bit, so they know that my, if I use anything that you're not sure what I'm talking about, just raise your hand. I take questions at all times, so, you know, any interruptions, I appreciate. It used to be that we were right across from the movies, so the people would come in from the movies, kind of turn their chairs around, watch the movies from here. That did expand my numbers, by the way, so I was kind of happy about that. There was a benefit, you know, but we're now going to talk, due process is pretty much, and I know this may be a curious thing, from a legal perspective, it's doing things right. It's the fair and honest process of the law. And one of the major components of due process in general is, does the person who is suing have the right to sue in that state's court? Now, why does that person want to sue in their own state? Well, theoretically, and it's not always true, one would hope that the state court would kind of favor the state resident over the non-state resident, because the state resident is paying taxes. So there's that issue. The other is that you and a state know better your own laws than if you had to sue in California. You also have probably a friend that's an attorney versus having to go to California and find an attorney. So a state really has a lot. You want to sue in your state. And every state, and I usually never am that broad, but every state has a long-arm statute. And the long-arm statute says, if you can show that certain aspects of a case happen in our state, in your state, then we have the long arm to bring a non-resident into the state. Obviously, if both the defendant and the plaintiff are in the same state, then it's a slam dunk. It's going to be done in that state, you know? So we're not really talking about that case. And also, please understand, I am an accountant. I am not a lawyer. So I approach this from an accountant's perspective of when people come to me and say, can I sue, can I not, what are my damages? Which are e-commerce's heavy damages. So the first issue of due process is, does that state court have both what they call personal jurisdiction, can they bring the person in, and a person is a corporation or something, and subject matter, which is, what is it? Subject matter really, I've never really seen that much of an issue in regards to e-commerce, because if you buy something on e-commerce, the subject is what you bought. You bought it on e-commerce, it's into your state, leave me alone. So it's really the personal jurisdiction issue. Now, personal jurisdiction used to always be that you had to have a physical presence in the state. So physical presence was a actual physical establishment, a home residence, something of that nature. Well, Quill came along. Now, Quill is a very interesting case. Quill only refers to due process. Quill pretty much overturned that and said, hi, how are you? Economic presence is okay for due process. If you create an economic presence in another state, that in that other state then has personal jurisdiction. Now, Quill, by the way, was a... it was Quill Office Supply Company, and they basically sold supplies, and I always get it confused, and didn't pull that one up. I mean, I think they were in Illinois, and they sold 40% of their business in Ohio, and somebody in Ohio sued, and they brought up, well, we have no physical presence here, and basically went to the Supreme Court and said, no, you have 40% of your business in Ohio, and... yeah, you have economic presence, and the internet and computers are all good, And that was really the first mention of e-commerce and due process. I will give you a caveat about this. There's something called the Interstate Commerce Clause, because we're going to kind of mention the U.S. Constitution. I know it's some people may have issues about it, but we'll mention it. Interstate Commerce Clause also has an issue about nexus or, you know, personal presence. The Commerce Clause pretty much says you must still have a physical presence. But for due process, which, by the way, is also part of the U.S. Constitution, you don't have to have a physical presence to be sued. So what you have is something that is, it's a conflict between two articles of the Constitution. And, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court created the problem, but then said Congress can solve it, and Congress hasn't done shit yet. Ooh, good, there's another dig it. I really got to edit these tapes. So anyway, Burger King came along. Burger King went up to the Supreme Court, and pretty much the issue was they were doing soliciting. Burger King says, we're only doing e-commerce. We have no physical presence. And we're not selling product. We're not selling office supplies. You know, we're soliciting for franchising. We're you know, it's an intangible franchise. Franchise operation's intangible. And the U.S. Supreme Court said, "Nah, you're doing a lot of stuff here. You have economic presence. You're making money. We're not buying the argument anymore." So Burger King pretty much came about. That was the first Supreme Court case. Now, the real case for due process was a case that I love. And it's and I'm sure that you have at one time at least heard of the product. Zippo, you know, the little lighter company, very, very cute lighters, right? Fonzie, remember, always whipped out a Zippo and you put that little skull bones on it. So Zippo Manufacturing's been around for a while. And Zippo is in the, though you really never really cared about this, is in the great state of Pennsylvania. Every state to me is a great state because if I don't say that, you know, investigators from other states say, hey, why isn't my state great? No, no, every state. U.S. Constitution, and different issue. So Zippo's hanging out in Pennsylvania. And the dot-coms were created, as everyone knows, and you got Zippo.com. Now, you would think that Zippo.com is selling Zippo lighters and Zippo products. No, they're selling really a newsletter information service. And they would go out, and you would subscribe to them, and they would, on their internet, they were only an internet company, you would subscribe on their internet site, and they would basically, for a subscription, and they had the basic, the silver and the platinum, which is kind of immaterial for this discussion. But they would solicit, and then you would get download newsletters and things that were important to you of that nature. Believe it or not, Zippo Manufacturing got a little bit perturbed and said, hey, you're diluting our name. You know, we're Zippo Lighter. Now you're telling us we're an information service? Come on. You know, us and Harley Davidson, you know, we're kind of linked. We're like brothers. And they took it to Pennsylvania. Why? Because you always want to sue in your own state. The logic is sue in your own state and bring the other guys in, and that's going to cost them more money, so therefore they're going to settle and break off. And they sued in their state and serviced the summons, that cute little legal document saying, hi, you're being sued, was given to Zippo.com in California. Zippo.com in California said, hey, I have no offices there. I have 3,000 clients in California, yes, but I'm digitally downloading this stuff. Why are you guys bugging me? You don't have personal jurisdiction over me, so you're violating my rights of due process. And that's why this is now called due process and e-commerce. Could have been Zippo and that lit up the world, but I don't think anybody would have shown up then. So courts looked at it, and the court said, and Zippo actually created something called the sliding scale. And the court, and this was 1997, by the way, so fairly recent, said there are three, first of all, there has to be a continuous solicitation of business. 3,000 customers hit that group. And we're going to discuss that aspect in a moment after we're done with Zippo, because each state looks at Zippo and interprets it differently. Then they said, and there has to be an interactive website. And there are three types of interactive websites. Well, three types of websites. One website just hangs there and gives you information. You jump on it, it gives you information, you do whatever you want with it. Another website is totally interactive. You order on it, you get your products, it processes credit cards, the whole ball of wax. That's the far extreme. The last extreme is you just got a website, just there, hanging out. And this is the sliding scale. And as the scale, as you go up, obviously, if it's totally interactive, if you can go buy, return, order, that's a slam dunk for the plaintiff. Because you're availing yourself of our state, therefore we're gonna bring you into our state. If the website is just hanging out there doing nothing, just giving you information, most states, and I caveat this by most states, are gonna sit there and say, we don't have jurisdiction. I mean, it's like advertising. You know, you're advertising in my state, that doesn't mean you're trying to get business in my state, you know, forget about it. And then there's these gray areas. So Zippo.com had 3,000, you know, subscribers. Court said, hi, how are you? No, we have due process. We're bringing you into our state, Pennsylvania, under the long-arm statute, and Zippo Manufacturing can sue Zippo.com. And this actually went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court agreed, yeah, that this was a correct decision, which is very rare. It was a logical outcome. Yeah. Yes?
That was a trademark suit, wasn't it?
It was a trademark suit. So, but it was the first case that set and created the sliding scale. Now, even though it was a trademark case, and that's totally right, and you know, trust me, throw it in here anytime. I need any help I can get. This Zippo is now quoted in defamation, patent infringement, commerce. In other words, you're buying a product and all. You'll see two cases always mentioned: Burger King and Zippo. I'm not too excited about Burger King, you can tell that, but Zippo I'm excited about, what can I tell you?
Seems to me it would have been easier for the lighter company to just offer the newsletter company a truckload of cash for the domain name. That would have solved the whole problem.
That's true, but the end result was that Zippo.com, for a hell of a lot less money than what the lawyers cost, lost the right of Zippo.com. They had to give the name over to Zippo Manufacturing and change it. I mean, it's, if you are a manufacturer and you've created a trade name, you're not jumping up and down the hoop saying, now I got to buy somebody's e-commerce name that they grabbed from me, which, in the, by the way, in the beginning of e-commerce, there were no rules, and you had this guy, I can't remember where, that got Disney.com, right? And basically Disney went in and tried to sue for their name back, all right? And that was a big, and it ended up that Disney basically had to buy it back, you know, and then the laws got, then you had the Millennium Act, which pretty much said, no, if you're a manufacturer and you've created your own trade name and your name starts to become synonymous with your product, and then somebody creates a .com specifically to sell the .com to you for money, that doesn't work. I mean, I personally think the guy that created sex.com, you know, was a genius. But of course, he got scammed out of sex.com. He finally won the lawsuit after 10 years of suing. He got the name back, but he can't collect any of the money. Minor digger. Prior to it, ICANN basically didn't care. A guy wrote a letter saying that the guy that owned sex.com sold it to him. And that, so ICANN basically switched over to the new guy. And he, of course, never sold it. So there was this major litigation, and basically that was also not really a due process case. That was an economic case. Due process was brought in to it. And the end result was the guy won after 10 years. The guy that had sex.com made a fortune and then disappeared to out of the country.
Is that a private island from here?
Probably. I'm not going to dispute that. So pretty much Zippo is the fundamental due process case. And we did Zippo pretty quick. So personal jurisdiction is really the issue of due process. The issue of you buy something on the internet, you get defamed over the internet. In other words, somebody basically One of the worst examples I've ever seen was somebody basically got on the website and said that this person was a child molester. And the person wasn't a child molester. Use a legal term, alleged child molester. On a forum. And the forum basically, you could post replies, and this guy basically posted replies. So you could picture that the person that was called, you know, was a little bit upset, sued in his state, and from an e-commerce perspective or due process perspective, the state said no. That website, that forum was not interactive. It was just posting replies back and forth. So therefore, you don't have personal jurisdiction. We don't have personal jurisdiction over that website. So therefore, you have to sue and go sue in another state. Websites are very interesting. God knows where they are. Who knows where the servers? I mean, you're in the Ethernet. Give me a break. You know? So they usually try and end up on the ISPs. So.
Question.
Sure.
So you're saying that a forum, it would not be considered interactive in that?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't want anyone to know.
So you
don't have to mention your name.
You're saying that a forum is not considered interactive in that case?
No.
I would think that's like the almost the ultimate in interaction.
I am stating that the forum...
As far as due process.
No, I respect that. I am stating that a forum where basically in the state of Tennessee, because long-arm statutes are based on the state, you're not in federal court yet, you're in the state, Tennessee pretty much stated that a forum, which is basically just a back and forth conversation, is not interactive. That is just a question and answer type of thing. Tennessee determined that interactive is 24/7. So it's not like you put a question, boom, that answer's there. I mean, when the guy gets to read it, there's a time gap.
It's like the mail.
Yeah. Now, advertising is an interesting area. Because I like advertising because, first of all, advertising is a lot of fun. If you do advertising on the radio, if you do advertising in print being newspapers, magazines, just want to make sure. And please, for the people that came in, any term I use that you don't recognize, raise your hand. Ask a question. He seems to be doing that very well. I'll stop. Hey, divert me. It doesn't matter. That's why I brought paper to keep me on track. Advertising from that perspective is not enough of a continuous solicitation, because it's not continuous. It's one-time thing, to be qualified under the sliding scale of continuously looking for business. The internet in certain states is, because it's consistently 24/7 out there constantly. Anytime you go, they're advertising. There are some states that say that internet advertising is an issue, that they do consider that as continuous solicitation. And there are some states that say internet advertising is not. The question then comes about, if I meet the standard that I'm advertising for business in your state, and how many sales do I need to make in your state to be classified as business, soliciting business? Well, one would think that there is like a minimum that you could kind of like say, okay, if I sell this amount in that state, I've actually could be sued in that state type of thing. Unfortunately, there is a certain state that has stated that your attempt to solicit business, even though you are unsuccessful in soliciting business, meets that standard. And therefore, that state will have personal jurisdiction.
What state?
Ooh, why did I know you were going to ask me?
We abandon our Google exclusions.
Well, all right. Let's. Oh, see, they're left. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. All right. No. I'll get to it. No. I got it here. But anyway, trust me. Let's talk about one that says a single sale. All right, just because that showed up. It was the first one I pulled. Never eat breakfast and read your material. You know, it goes all over the table. It gets a terrible thing. So let's see. Louisiana. Hey, I don't create it. I just read them. Louisiana said that a person, if you make one sale, and they made a sale on friggin' eBay. So the person put it on eBay, let's call it what it is. The person that bought it lived in Louisiana. Louisiana State Court said, you, come on into our state and get ready for a lawsuit. Why? Because you made one sale in our state. So the great state of Louisiana has stated that a continuous sale, that aspect of that sliding, you know, really the middle one is what we're discussing, the middle component. Interactive, one sale in the state of Louisiana. Hi, how are you? You can get sued in Louisiana. Long arm statute. I'm going to find that one now. You got me aggravated.
What really scares me about this, though, is the slippery slope to creating a business nexus for income tax purposes. That's what I'm really getting scared about.
Okay, okay, let's talk about it.
I've had to file multi-state taxes for consulting work, because, and it's not fun.
No, never will be. But congratulations. You're at least filing income taxes. Income tax, if let us say, all right, we're going to talk, we're off of due process now, we're now into income tax for a moment, which is not really, but we'll handle that just to spread out this hour that I'm up here for. I'll do anything up here for an hour. Somewhat anything. For interstate e-commerce, in other words, you're at your home and you're doing all your consulting to all these other states and you never go into that state.
That was my problem.
Right. You are not required to file in those states.
Okay.
You're not, because the interstate commerce clause states that you must have a physical presence, and that's Superior Auto. And that has not. They created a three-prong test, and one of the tests is nexus. Nexus is, where the hell did you do it? You know, that's my definition of nexus. And nexus basically is determined for interstate commerce is you still must have a physical presence. For due process, you go under Quill. And Quill says, as long as you make economic money in that state, you can be sued in that state. But you also can sue. So in other words, if as a consultant in another state, he can, and they prove that you did it, and they prove the sliding scale of Zippo, You can be sued because of what your consulting did caused them damage, right? But the state can't bring you in from an income tax perspective and say you owe us income tax in that state because it's a violation of the Interstate Commerce Clause.
As long as you don't get on a plane, go there, do the work there, you're
safe. Right.
So, sure. So following that point, if I do get on a plane and go there, then I'm going to have to file income tax for that state as well?
If you go to that state, you're, let's say, a consultant, and you get on an airplane and you travel to that other state and you do the work in that other state and then you go back home, you will be required to file income tax in that other state. Yes. Yes, ma'am. CT Corp.
They're called Walters Kluwer now, but you just pick your favorite search engine, CT Corporation, and they should come up. There's an 800 number if you call and ask them for that publication. I think you can probably send it to you. They would be successful and will advertise to you for your life.
Since we're talking about sale, by the way, another place to look at it, since my website will never be up, trust me, it's never going up. I'm much, much too dangerous. You go to some of the large accounting firms on their websites. This is free information. You go and you go on interactive taxation. They all have an e-commerce web page. And they have papers on this, you know. And it's all free. I'm going for the free stuff, folks. I'm going for the free stuff. So it's that aspect. Now we have, since we're talking about sales, because really sales is in my mind, really the real crux of this. Now we had one state, the great state of Louisiana, one sale. We have the great state of Florida, which pretty much said, no. This state, they brought up, actually, they actually brought up the case in Tennessee, and the case in Florida said, well, great, but we're Florida. What do we care what Tennessee did? We don't give up. And pretty much said, isolated sales through a website is not enough to support the sales part of the commerce, and therefore, no, you do not have personal jurisdiction under due process. Therefore, you cannot sue in the state of Florida. And therefore, by the way, there is certain things that if you can't sue in your state and you can't sue in another state, then you go to federal court because it's called conflict of jurisdiction. You have one person claiming I can sue here, the other person's claiming I can sue there. You really want to be in state court. Trust me on this. This is where you want to be. You know, your next choice is really, you don't really want to, if you're here and you're suing somebody in California, you don't want to be in California state court. You want to be over here in Georgia state court. And if you can't go to Georgia state court, before you go to California state court, you go to federal court. You still want to bring them over here. You want them to hire an attorney over here. Why? Because it's going to cost them more money, and hopefully you will then win. The object of a lawsuit, I'm not a lawyer, so I could say this. The object of a lawsuit is not to basically uphold the law. The object of the lawsuit is to win. Okay? You know, and I don't care if you're European, Asian, or American, because, you know, people say, oh, Europeans, they have a much more, you know, communitive spirit, and Asians, you know, are also of that, you know, are much more, you know, they, I mean, if you guys ever play WoW, or any of those other multiplayer games, you'll notice that Americans are all individualistic. We all go in, each one of us wants to capture the flag, you know, forget defending. Whereas if you go on a European server, everybody's sitting there going, okay, you four defend, they're all there, they're defending. Asian, same thing, they're defending. You know, okay, you three go there. I mean, they assign things that people do. And America, no, we're gonna conquer the world. You know, in litigation, everybody has the same attitude. We want to win, and we will do whatever it takes to win. One of the ways to win is to cause your adversary to spend a lot more money fighting a lawsuit. Therefore, you will win.
They'll settle to make it go away.
And that's, by the way, settling is a win. Okay? Let us, you, right. Lawyers cost money. You want the money. All you want is this cockamamie piece of paper that says that you won. From a judge. Now, why do you want this piece of paper?
For the next idiot.
Nope, you don't care about the next idiot. The issue is, once you have a judgment in hand in your state court, under there is something called the Full Faith and Credit Act. And that Full Faith and Credit Act is going to sit there and say that if you won in Georgia, and this is most, there are certain caveats in certain states. If you won a lawsuit in Georgia, and you now want to go and enforce it in the great state of California, the person in California says, excuse me, I didn't show up for that lawsuit. It's a default judgment. You can't honor that. The California judge sitting there going to sit there and going to say, excuse me, you had a chance to try it in the state of Georgia. You chose not to. I'm not going to retry this case. The Georgia municipalities have already done that. Here's the judgment. Rubber stamp, it's now a California judgment against you. Pay it. This, by the way, is very general, right? I mean, you can have a lawyer spit here, oh, no, he said it wrong. No, you got to do this. Bottom line, you clean it all up. You'll say, oh, Jesus Christ, he said it right. But it costs you $10,000 in legal fees for them to tell you why I didn't say it right. So there are certain states that take the full faith and credit and say if you have a default judgment, we're not going to honor a default judgment. But if you respond to that default, if let's say you are, I mean, this happened to one of my clients in New York, where basically they started a lawsuit in New Hampshire. I come from New Hampshire, so don't hold it against me. And they put a lawsuit, they actually responded and claimed due process. They said there is no pure personal jurisdiction. The court ruled against him and said, no, there is personal jurisdiction. And then they didn't show up to the court. So there was a default judgment. That judgment was sent down to New York. It was a New York person. And they claimed under the default judgment part, hey, defaulted. And the New York court said, no, it was not a default. You responded. You raised a defense. And then you chose not to show up. You lose. So even if they respond, that issue of default just went out the door. I like this one. This one was very, very, very cute. I think this is the Colorado. See, we go all over the country in this, you know. Pretty much, there was a website that stated that Colorado was one of the 11 states that you could purchase a specific item. They sold nothing in the state of Colorado. Not a damn thing. Zero, zip, nada, butkus. But because on their website they stated that Colorado was one of the states that would sell, they created personal jurisdiction, and therefore the person in Colorado who basically sued for an infringement of a trademark, which God knows, you know, I don't really follow if they win the case or not. I just follow the due process issue. Pretty much Colorado said, hi, how are you? Let's come into Colorado and let's see what you got. So due process, no sales, state of Colorado. You said you were going to sell in our state. Not my problem. You didn't sell. This one I love. This is a great, great case. And I'm sorry. You know, there are some that are really funny. I mean, you know, you got to get your jollies. We're, you know, come on, we're at a sci-fi convention. We're talking about e-commerce and due process. Give me a break. So let's see. This is Texas. Texas, great state of Texas. Only state where you can shoot somebody in the face, and basically it was his fault. You got in front of the pellets. It's really.
But it was a lawyer. So.
But it was a lawyer. But you know, one less, you know. Put him.
Start.
It's a good start. Then a thousand of them under. This is in regards to a Canadian corporation who is doing basically soliciting business in world, you know, over. And basically somebody in Texas sued and said, hey, you know, I have a patent infringement case, you know, not a patent infringement here, and I'm suing the state of Texas. And the Canadian corporation said, hey, I'm in Canada, you know. I'm not there. I'm not even in your friggin' country. Give me a break. And the Texas court came back and said, you know, you foreign corporation, you have a very good point that there is no personal jurisdiction here. You have a good point. But you have a bad point because you're not anywhere. So unless you can show this court that there is a better forum, and a forum is a better place to sue them, okay, they call forums. All right, just want to make sure. I don't want somebody to think, oh, we use a forum, and you know, the forum. Unless you can show that you have a better forum that you can be sued in, and it is in Canada, by the way, that doesn't work. We're going to sue you in Texas. So they're pretty much sitting there. So if you're sitting there, so now remember, you can take the cases that are coming to the United States, and you can basically extract them and put them out in Europe or in Asia, and say, because the EU is really big on this, if you're screaming no personal jurisdiction and you're doing business in the EU, you better be able to show them that maybe not in France of the EU, but in Luxembourg of the EU would be a better forum for you to get sued on. They're going to bring you in. Yeah.
Sure. How do they enforce that? How does the Texas court tell the guy in Canada you have to show up?
I mean, you know that Full Faith and Credit Act?
Mm-hmm. Another country. I
mean, they'll honor it. Another country will honor it.
Go far enough, the Canadian courts will tell them they have to come down?
No, they won't tell you to come down. You're going to be, okay, let's follow this through, okay? Let us say this person could not prove forum. You know, the only other forum is in Canada. Texas says to you, we're going to do this lawsuit in Texas. Guy in Canada says, to you, I'm not showing up. Texas issues a default judgment. You now have a Texas judgment. You go up to the Canadian courts. Because, I mean, even if you get a judgment in Texas and the guy's in California, you got to go to the California court to rubber stamp it anyway. So you go to the Canadian court and say, I have a judgment against this guy. He's in your province. He's in Canada. I need to collect this. The guy comes in and says, hey, they had no jurisdiction over me. I'm a Canadian corporation. You're a Canadian court. Let's try it up here. And the Canadian court is pretty much going to say, we are not going to spend our time retrying something that's already been tried. We do not have the economics to constantly try and try and try the same frigate case. You chose not to go down there. We don't care it's in the United States. There is TEFTRA, which is an economic, which has a paragraph that says full faith and credit. So there's full faith and credit now between us, Mexico, and Canada. They rubber stamp it, and you go collect it. And we're not going to get into how do you collect a judgment in Canada. Usually, you hire somebody, or you get the sheriff, and the sheriff basically goes in and gets it. You know, it's once you get that little piece of paper, you got to win.
So this might not work with Venezuela, because Hugo Chavez is going to say, "Screw you guys, I'm going home."
Notice I said Canada, and notice I said Mexico. I did not bring up South America. If I said South America, I apologize to the body at hand.
Well,
Plus, I would imagine there that the other viewpoint of the in this example of Canadian court is that, okay, you went to Texas, you lost, you didn't get the answer you wanted, so now you're playing one parent against the other.
That's called forum shopping. Okay, pretty much forum shopping has been crushed. Because, you know, it's all about, the courts are all about money, their own, right? I think, I mean, a friend of mine was telling me, statistically speaking, from the state of California, they're 4 years behind on a civil suits. They're not going to try. So, it's not going to happen. Now, remember how we said that there are certain states that say no sales or attempted sales, like the great state of California, Colorado, sat there and said,
yeah,
your intent to sell is good enough for me to bring you into the due process issue. Well, New York pretty much came out and said, if you can't prove that there was a sale done in the state of New York, forget about it. We don't have personal jurisdiction.
So Colorado was the state that said just the attempt?
Yep, just the attempt.
Because you were looking for that.
Yep. Understand that these are just cases that get published that I see, that people refer to. There can be cases that are not published, that didn't get picked up by some of the electronic services or in the state yourself, and you get some real problems. So every state, but I can honestly tell you, and I caveated this in the beginning, every state, and including the District of Columbia, which is not a state, obviously, or Puerto Rico, has a long-arm statute. And the long-arm statute is in regards to e-commerce. You know, it wasn't at the time, but pretty much that's what everybody in e-commerce refers to. Yes?
So you were saying that, was it New York or New Jersey that had the default judgment? They would retry a default judgment?
Yes, New York will retry a default judgment.
Where does Georgia stand at that?
Georgia basically, it is...
He's not a lawyer. I play one on TV.
Not right. Georgia, to my knowledge, okay, which is like Swiss cheese, a lot of holes in it, will retry certain times default judgments if it violates the Constitution of Georgia. Which means in English, it's up to the friggin' judge. If the judge feels that there is a violation of your constitutional right, and wait, let's caveat this. You lost. Okay? Yeah. Okay, let's make sure. So somebody from some other states walk into Georgia to try and get this judgment against you. The issue here will be is Georgia will look and they'll say, were your rights violated? And your rights will not include due process. So there are things in Georgia's constitution that are not in New York's, they're not in New Hampshire, not in California. Every state has a whole different constitution, all based on whatever privileged class got in there and wrote the bloody thing.
So if you're in New York, you're better off not even responding and making them come into your state?
Yes. Yes.
Just trying to force it?
Oh, yes. It's my wife. It doesn't count. She knows I'm lecturing.
I understand. I run into the same problem.
She understands. Dear, I'm lecturing. Now, let's say that you get on the website and you put in all your information. Hi, this is my name, this is perfect example. I mean, there was an issue here. You want to basically put down antique flooring in your house. And one of the largest there is an antique flooring company that has a website. I'm not mentioning names because I'll get in trouble. They live too close to my home. And you go in and you put down... Oh, I guess she's leaving me a message.
Yes, I understand. Okay. I'm not responding. Okay.
I forgot my charger, so I can't turn it off because of the power utilization problem. And you put in all your information on that website. That website will ask for your name, how many square feet, what type of product you're looking for, what are you willing to pay, not your credit card. And you put in all that information. And you then get a call from their salesman, a real life call from there, and you start discussing and negotiating. Okay. So in certain states, that would be considered solicitation and would meet the standards. Now, this is not a state, so I can't say the great state, but in District of Columbia, if all you do is put that type of information in, it is not considered sales, it is not considered continuous, and therefore you cannot be brought into the group, into the District of Columbia's courts. I would say that Missouri, which also has what is classified as a one state, one direction, in other words, you put all your information on their website. That person then calls you. But the website is not interactive because a person's going to call you. Missouri has also stated the same thing. That one-way direction is not going to bring you into their state. And therefore, you will not be doing it. I always like this one. Great state of California. Now, California, understand California. California courts are notorious for bad decisions. If you need to find a bad decision, go find a court case in California. You will find, if it makes absolutely no sense, no logic, and by the way, this is why this is at 10 a.m., because you people kind of should be hungover so you can understand and accept this. California can't do crap. Yeah, they can sue me, but I don't really care. They'll lose in federal court. 97% was the last percentile of court cases that were overturned in California in federal court. Okay, this is a statistic that pretty much tells you that if you can get into federal court, you're gonna win, because whatever, especially if you lose in California, Superior Court. You then lose in the Court of Appeals in the state of California. You then lose in the Supreme Court of California. You then go to federal court. You got a great chance of winning. So, you know, if you could get your, and by the way, personal jurisdiction, which comes under due process, is a shoo-in to get into federal court. Why? Because it's a U.S. constitutional issue. Therefore, it's under the jurisdiction of federal court. Federal courts pretty much don't want to sit there and say, hey, you know, it's a state issue, let it get resolved in the state. They're sitting there going, this is a U.S. constitutional issue between two people in two different states, we will get involved. And if they get involved and you lost everything in California, you got a great chance of winning in the federal court. I mean, it's so, but California, you have this. You had, now California, from a geographical perspective, that counts as three people in this lecture. I just want you to know, it's three heads, it counts. We count heads in my lecture. In fact, that could be more than three heads, but we won't discuss it. Could be the Hydra, that's seven. California is right next to Nevada, for all you geographically impaired people. My son was here, he'd be sitting there going, no, it's not, you know. I'm sitting there going, yeah, really. You have these Nevada hotels that only had online solicitation of selling rooms. And the website was in the state of Nevada. And California said, well, you know, you're soliciting our California residents. We have due process. And we can sue, and you, the hotels, will now have litigation in our state. Again, all these cases pretty much talk about getting e-commerce, you're selling your products by e-commerce, you're making defamation, e-commerce, you're doing patent infringement, e-commerce. I had an artist. He was selling his images of his pictures over the website. He lived in Spain. And they were kind of gothic type of pictures, which would fit DragonCon perfectly in my mind. Got sued in the state of Arkansas. Arkansas ruled that because the website was open solicitation worldwide and that the person proved that there was more than one person buying the product, that Arkansas had jurisdiction, and the guy from Spain had to basically hire attorneys to litigate. It was easier. It was settled. You know, he gave up. He gave up some of his rights. He had the rights. The litigation would have cost more than his royalties that he ever made, ever would have. So, it's. Now, remember I told you about the website where you lost because it wasn't interactive? In the state of Illinois, they decided that the website forum was interactive, even though there was these lag times. So basically, there was continuous operation, there was continuous solicitation. Therefore, if you set up a forum in Illinois, they're going to say it's interactive, and therefore Illinois has personal jurisdiction. Other than my wife basically blinking at me. How are we doing on time? Oh, 7 minutes. We're good. Go. Okay.
Semi-practical question.
Thank God you're asking an accountant, not a lawyer.
take an artist.
Yep.
Might be a more of a lawyer question. Artist has a website.
Mm-hmm.
They have their images on. Images are taken off, or images, articles, whatever, taken off, scraped off, put on another website.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else.
Sure.
You want to sue for copyright.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sue in your state, or are they going to try to drag it to their state?
Well, all right. We'll ignore. No. This is what this is about. That's due process. Can you sue in your state? Do you have personal jurisdiction against the person that scraped off your image? We will ignore the first typical questions that the lawyer will ask is, "Hi, did you copyright your own image?" We'll ignore that. Okay. If they scraped it off your state, okay. And what did they do with it? Did they then put it on their website and try and sell it?
In most cases, they just throw ads on and get ad revenue off of that.
They're selling and getting ad revenue off of it, right? So they're making money. If you can prove, depending on your state, because if it's New York, you better show one sale for ad revenue. Depending on the state, yes, you can sue in your state. Why? Because you have personal jurisdiction. Because they are soliciting over the internet something that you created, and they're making money off of it in your state. So therefore, you now have subject matter. Subject matter is given. It's the friggin' picture. But do you have personal jurisdiction? Well, if they're soliciting, and it's continuous, and if it's on the internet, pretty much it's continuous, and you can prove that they have sales in your state, or depending on your state, as we just found out, even the attempt. If you're in Colorado, this is a time to move. Point to the case, say, hey, Colorado, hey, come on, you already said it, bring it in. Yes, you can sue in your state. And that's what you want to do.
Yes.
You want to sue in your state. Yes?
So, yeah, I had a business that was trying to take the website to the next level, to use it to actually, instead of just enhance the marketing efforts, but actually generate some revenue.
Right.
Because websites and IT departments are not revenue generators for most organizations. That's an expense. That's the way they look at it. So if I want to that's the general view.
Well, that view is pretty much.
Yeah. Well,
we won't go into it. Go ahead. We'll run under your philosophical comment, and we'll get to the question.
So, if I want them to be able to generate some money using some of the principles of e-commerce, how is it that I can avoid the whole lawsuit in the first place? Is there some general tips to kind of wrap up? I mean, it's good to know that we got due process and we're
we looking sued by everyone in the world
and that sort of thing. But how do I avoid it? The whole.
Well, first of all, the first question would be: is your product specific to a certain marketplace? I mean, if your product is only going to be sold, really can be only sold in the Northeast or the Southwest, I would immediately put on the website that the solicitation will only be honored in those states. Okay, that's the first thing. If you put down in your state that, hey, I'm only soliciting in these states and some other person in a different state buys it and then claims, puts you into lawsuit, you point to your website and say, I'm soliciting here. You know, this is an incidental one, and I would give you a 95% chance of winning. There's always, this is the law,
sure.
So that would be issue one, okay? Issue two would be, it depends on your product, all right? It really does. I mean, just taking a look at the flooring company, you cannot make that interactive enough. You need a personal contact because a consumer is sitting there and he has to know the real square footage. He needs to know a lot of dimensional issues. You can't put enough on the website for you to give an accurate sale, and you're opening yourself up to litigation just off of that. So you need to basically take a look at your product and say, can I even sell this product over the internet, or is the internet only going to basically be a sales generating marketing tool of interest where people will get on, give me all the information, and then I'm going to have one of my salesmen call and generate it, the call. In that regard, pretty much you're not making a sale over the internet.
Right. Now it's a phone call.
Now it's a phone call, and the phone call is from one state to another, and pretty much you're out of e-commerce. Right. You know, another way that I usually get that I request people that put website on is that all sales are not final unless the home office accepts them. So therefore, if you have, and this goes past e-commerce, okay, this is sales. If you have independent reps out there and they're running around, and in the state of Michigan, an independent rep can bind you like you wouldn't believe, if basically you sit there and you put on your documents, every document, home office must accept, all right? You have pretty much stated that the home office is where the sale really came about. And therefore, you are then required, the states are basically going to honor that. They're going to sit there and honor that. If you have a contract on the website that says all litigation must take place in your state, it is an argument. It is not a slam dunk. It is an argument that if somebody brings you into another state, you said one of the conditions of my sale to that individual, they honored this contract, and in that contract, it states that all litigation must happen in the state of Georgia. We're in Georgia, might as well use it. Okay?
The great state of Georgia.
Thank you. Therefore, you have that issue. And you have something to point to go to court and say, hey, Your Honor, you don't have personal jurisdiction to me. You also don't have subject matter jurisdiction because the goods that I sold them in whatever shape or form, they agreed by contract that if they were going to sue me, they were going to go and sue me in my state. This is not a slam dunk, but it's a great argument, and you got to run with great arguments. Yes, sir.
On putting that in,
yeah.
Is that enough just to, on your checkout, put something, all sales subject to terms and conditions page, or do you need the actual little checkbox?
Well, the
check. I know the checkbox is probably a little more binding, but do you need, or can you just refer to a terms and conditions page?
You can refer to a terms and conditions page. It's nicer, obviously, to put it there. But it's also nicer if it's true, okay? I mean, I'm not going to be, and please, no one please take
offense at me, first of all. I know my wife's going to scream at me because I didn't pick up the phone call. And I'm in deep, deep crap anyway on that. Is that you can put whatever you want on the web page, but if it's not true, if the computer, if you basically put home office has to make a decision, but your internet website does everything, including charging the person's credit card?
Never.
Okay? You could put whatever you want there. Your process, your computer, your IT process of that website actually refutes what you put down in your terms and conditions. So you're going to say, it's called, you're saying the form of the transaction is this. And they're going to argue the substance of the transaction is this, i.e. substance over form, right? And substance over form wins, because form, you can create any form you want, but if they can prove by substance, i.e., hey, they took the order, they charged my credit card, that condition's bogus, the court's going to sit there and say, sir, you took the order, you charged the credit card, it got shipped, because obviously if it didn't get shipped, you're not in a litigation issue, you know, it got shipped. Where in this process did the Home Office review the order and make a positive determination or a negative determination whether to ship the goods? And you,
there, yeah. Because I always save all the information and process it manually because I get way too many fraud orders, jewelry fraud.
I understand.
So and doing offline charging the cards and all that.
Right, but then in that regard, that will strengthen your argument that pretty much all home office, you know, takes care of it. But I'm more concerned about an interactive website that basically goes through the entire process and has this cute little paragraph because this guy at a sci-fi convention, I can't wait, I could see this.
Yeah.
You know, Your Honor, this guy at least I don't have the dragon on the shoulder because this is more appropriate. Last year it would have been with the dragon. Yeah. Your Honor, this guy that had a dragon on the shoulder told me at Dragon Con that if I did it this way, you know, this,
yeah.
You know, yeah, yeah. And by the way, you can make the judge laugh, and who knows, you probably could win the lawsuit.
Unless you're here in California.
No, that won't help you.
The great state of California.
Yes. No, that's the one state that's not a great state. I have a lot of friends and people I know, and they're lovely people, but even they say their legal system sucks, you know. I mean, I think one of my friends basically has he does taxation out there. It took him 7 years to get into civil court, lower, you know, they have a municipal court and a superior court, it's based on money and everything. He got it 7 years later, and basically the company was dead, you know, the other company had killed it, you know, and he's sitting there going, yeah, that's justice in California. You know, and of course, you know, they de facto won the case, but the company no longer exists.
Yeah.
So, like, who cares? You know, like, the elephant died, but, you know, that's pretty much it. Pretty much that's due process, and actually what it is really personal jurisdiction over e-commerce. Any questions? Any concerns?
Yeah.
Any issues?
Yeah. I can be sued in Europe.
Yep. You
can.
Well, Europe is.
With the customs in every little country in Europe is just.
Well, Europe actually is a different. If you come Monday, we can talk about Europe and also that basically you are required to charge VAT tax. If you take an internet order over the internet, and you are shipping to Europe, the EU, you are required to charge VAT tax now. And that's under. 2002. So it's been around for a while, and actually you're required to actually register in a country, not in the country. They actually made it a little simpler. This is like the advertising demos you see, you know, for the next lecture, you know, for the next show, you know. Yeah, a tease, thank you. It's a tease. See, I don't do work in advertising, you know, manufacturing is my bigger headache. But really, you are required to register in a country, whatever country you choose. You're required to collect VAT tax, and you are required to make one
transmission, at least to the country you choose that you've been registered in for EU sales.
For a couple thousand bucks a year, they're not worth it.
Well, again, you're getting into the issue of what small business must now do to comply with both U.S. as well as international laws on are these sales worth the economic issue, as well as the other issue of is small business, you know, I mean, it would be an interesting forum we should possibly try into next year, is small business and e-commerce, and is it a level playing field anymore? Because e-commerce pretty much was supposed to level the playing field, and big business has pretty much made sure that e-commerce, where, you know, and it's revolving, is that e-commerce pretty much does not level the playing field. It did. It actually really hurt big business quite a lot, and now they're trying to bring it back to where they own the playing field again. Yeah. Any other questions?
So that's Monday? Hmm? Monday when?
Oh, wait, I had that. That's Monday at 1 p.m.
Internet sales tax?
Okay. The internet sales tax is unconstitutional. Why am I being charged it? You know, you gotta, you know, if I could put wow in here in one of these, like, you know how big this would be? You know, like, the taxation of wow. You know, I would have everyone from wow and all their little World of Warcraft outfits coming to see. Of course, they'd all leave after I started to talk, but, you know, it's a different issue, you know.
Oh, quickly.
What? No, actually, a lot of people, I think, one of the issues, I think, next year, I'm done, right?
Oh, you got like 5 minutes.
Oh, I got 5 minutes. Cool.
20.
Plenty.
Five.
Oh, so the one of the big issues about due process and taxation now that is coming about is virtual items, where people basically, I'll use the old days, and I'm not advertising for WoW, but I do play WoW. Is that, you know, people would sell their characters on eBay. The biggest one I saw was a $10,000 sale of their character. That no longer is, first of all, eBay is no longer taking those items, but that is now a taxable transaction. You know, and Congress, the Joint Economic Committee was supposed to have a paper out now, and it hasn't happened yet. So. Well, next year we'll do it over here in the EFF track.
You know. Technically, IRS law says, or regulations say, that any income derived from any source is taxable.
That's not.
Regardless of what the source is.
Well, actually, Internal Revenue Code Section 61, which is what you're quoting. Ooh, see, I knew that off the top of my head. God, he's an accountant. No, don't shoot him. Is they have an aspect made for profit. It's not just gross income, it's income made for profit. I mean, and also you have an issue of, is the income you earned equal, is it a profit? I mean, profit's kind of easy. You know, you're talking profit, but how about all your losses? I mean, if you theoretically play a game, and you've played, and let us say, and I'm not saying that this is, you're paying $50 a month subscription price, and you've played for 3 years, so that's $1,800, and you basically now sell an item, or you sell your character for $500 using that, is that a loss? You know, from your perspective, if they're gonna basically play the game of it's taxable, then you're gonna sit there and say, fine, then I want my loss. And they're then going to sit there and say to you, well, you know, if you sell your car and you make a profit, it's taxable. But if you sell your car and you have a loss, it's not taxable. And there is a big issue here, because one of the secondary issue is this, is that, is this a business or is this a hobby?
Right.
And is this an occasional sale? And if it's an occasional sale,
personal pleasure versus...
Well, personal pleasure is classified as a hobby.
You can't take a loss on this.
Actually, yeah, you can, well, for a personal hobby, you can't, but then the hobby laws come about. Now, the hobby rules are interesting. The hobby law, I mean, Jesus should, well, no, I was available yesterday anyway. I was putting my son to college. But hobby rules are in that it's within 5 years, you have to show, two of the five have to show a profit for it not to be a hobby. So let's say you start a business and it only goes 3 years. You haven't gone through the 5 years. You stopped it. You can sit there and say, it wasn't a hobby. I took a shot at it. It didn't work. So therefore, it's business. Now, all of a sudden, I have all these business losses based on I was actively. I mean, if you think about farming, basically, you're putting your time. Well, time you can't charge, but what happens if you have somebody that you've hired, so what you're paying him is a deduction. You have the internet, which is a deduction because you need the internet to farm, because if you have no internet, you can't farm. Yeah. Right. I mean, then you have to have an office, so you have some rent. Let's say you do advertising because you have a website, and now you have a website. That's advertising. You take credit cards. So the processing of the credit card fees as well as the minimum maintenance, that's expenses. I mean, all these things are expenses that, you know, there's a lot of things that people, you know, say, oh, I made X amount of dollars, you know. I mean, you used to be able to sell your character on eBay. You can't sell it anymore. Theoretically, you can't sell it anymore. Theoretically. Well, eBay said you can, but that doesn't, this is eBay. That's like YouTube said, hi, we're not going to let you do this anymore. And you know, you go on and you see it all the time. But the fees that you pay to get your eBay account are all deductible if you're farming. A lot of people, I mean, one of the humorous things was somebody told me, I mean, we're getting into real esoteric gray area now, is, hi, I use the money I made for farming to pay for my education. And my education was in sales and marketing. Could you then have an argument? I'm not saying you would win, but could you have an argument that your cost of education was basically a business expense because you were learning not a new trade, but it was helping you enhance your abilities in your current trade because you're making money? Because understand, if you learn a new trade, if you go to school to learn a new trade, it's not deductible because you're learning a new trade. But if you go to school to enhance your current business model, okay, that's education, that's pretty much a deductible expense. And the government will say any day of the week, yes. So by somebody sitting there saying, hi, I went out, I earned all this money, and by the way, hi, I also had all these expenses. One of that was I had to learn marketing and sales. And I took this marketing and sales courses, you know, and psychology, because I had to understand, you know, so I've taken marketing, I've taken psychology. Also, I had to take internet, you know, interactive website, you know, because I have to keep my website up. So I got now sales, I got marketing, I got psychology, I got IT, all right. And let's say I had to take math. Because I have to understand physics to understand the models and the answers. So I have now 5 college courses, which was my semester, which was $17,000 in education. You know, having my son's going to college, so it's like fresh. It's fresh in the mind of what it's costing me. Yeah. You know, so it's $17,000. Well, how many people, not meant offensive to the farmers, how many farmers make $17,000 a year? No, Chinese don't make that much. I mean, they make some money, but they're not making $17,000, you know. And I'm not. And the Chinese are, you know, their economic situation a lot different. But I'm just saying. The farming companies do not make money as farming companies. They make money as commission sales agents. Somebody else is farming, and somebody else is, you know. They're basically acting as a middleman. They take a sales commission.
Like a stockbroker.
Like a stock, perfect example, like a stockbroker. And so, you know, I mean, you want to talk about personal jurisdiction and farming. I mean, here it is You have a company selling WOW Gold, and they're based in Washington State, and you're based in Georgia, and you get on their website and you basically pay, and you basically, and then WOW cuts your account because World of Warcraft has a very big provision against actually the provision is selling gold, not buying gold, but you're one of the unlucky ones. So you basically sue them, sue the Washington State because of them getting caught, you got caught, and therefore you lost your account and your characters. And you're in the state of Georgia. They are your personal jurisdiction. It's an e-commerce transaction. They're going to lose. Why? Because they have continuously advertised in your state. There are probably more than you buying gold in this state. So you got personal jurisdiction here. You're going to be able to sue them here. Whether or not you can win, that's for a court to decide. But you have a good shot at it. You know, because also besides the e-commerce aspect, also they gave away, they violated your rights of privacy. Because how did World of Warcraft, i.e. Blizzard, get your name and your account if they didn't give it to them? And this is supposed to be privacy.
Just as a side note, there are a lot of Blizzard websites that sell gold that are run by Blizzard. Yeah. Believe it or not. So you talk about...
But that, I understand. Yeah, I mean, that the biggest issue that's going to come about is, I mean, it's an over superlative, really, is can MMOPGs survive taxation? Now, what Blizzard has done, and by the way, I believe you, because it makes relevant sense. I mean, I'm sure EverQuest has a website out there also, is here's a way that they're making money and doing transaction. They're doing it in the middle so that nobody knows. I mean, it's like if you're a game developer and you sell it and you basically license your product to Take-Two, you better realize Take-Two also owns a whole chain of computer retail stores. And your commission is based on the selling price that they sell to stores. But of course, they sell a different price to their own home stores than they do to independent agents, because they're trying to lock the profit the other way. So it's actually screwing around with your royalty fee. So much for due process, huh? Kill that right off the top. General panel on the taxation of e-commerce and gaming.
New topic panel for next year, business sites.
Of e-commerce. Yeah, we probably should. But then I'll actually get a small business guy up here too. I'm sure. So but really, due process for e-commerce really runs under an aspect of personal jurisdiction. And if you create personal jurisdiction based on the sliding scale of Zippo, we all love Zippo, you will be brought into a state that you don't want to be brought into. And on the other hand, you can sue in a state, in your state. The name of the game here is get the litigation in your state court. We're done.